Hello and welcome back to the Rooted Podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra, and I'm so thankful that you are taking time out of your day, your evening, to be here with me and to listen to this episode, which, based on the title alone, is the most exciting episode that I've ever recorded to date. It's also a little scary, though. We shared the news over on Instagram last week, which felt really freeing. But at the same time, I had quite the vulnerability hangover, which I was not expecting. The minute I hit publish, I had so much anxiety and I just wasn't expecting that. And it wasn't necessarily bad per se. It was just like, you know, the feeling of your private secret bubble was just popped to the masses, and it was, you know, our doing and it was our choice. And I'm so thankful that we did. But I just wasn't expecting the aftermath of like what that would feel like. It was almost like exposing this giant secret, this life-altering secret and news, you know, to the world. So it was pretty wild, much like our journey to getting here. It was anything but easy. And that's really what I wanted to share here with you today. I thought about going into like what the first trimester has been like, but I'm going to do that in a different episode, because I think this episode itself deserves its own spotlight, because again, I want to be clear that this journey to getting to this baby was anything but easy. I feel very sensitive about sharing this news because I just don't want to make anyone feel bad or anxious, because I've been on the other side of that. But before we get into all of that, I do just want to take a second to say thank you for all of the outpouring of love and support over on Instagram after we shared the news last week. There are so many incredible comments and heartfelt messages and text messages, and it really makes me just emotional just thinking about it. And I just feel really grateful to be supported by you, whether I know you in real life or not. And I think that's what's so magical about platforms like this, is that I get to share my heart with you and in turn share bits of pieces, you know, of my life and what's going on. And you reciprocate that, whether you are sending me a DM on Instagram, or you're emailing me to tell me how this podcast landed with you, or you're sharing it to your stories and expressing, you know, how it landed. All of that feels like such a connection to me. And just the support that, you know, we show one another through this at times turbulent life. And it's just the coolest, most magical thing, because it's hard, solid proof that connection is everything, and connection comes in so many forms. I don't have to see you face to face to feel connected, right? And vice versa. We don't have to be sharing a cup of coffee, though that would be amazing. But we don't have to be sitting across from each other in order to, you know, hear each other's stories and experiences. So yeah, just thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know I speak for Jonathan as well. We appreciate the love so much. So if you've listened to this podcast for some time, then you have very much been on this journey with Jonathan and I. You know the ins and outs of what we've gone through. And I'd be remiss if I didn't take a moment to talk directly to the women and the men who listen to this podcast, who are going through the same thing. And the thing I'm referring to here is IVF. Fertility is so fucking hard. It's so hard. There actually aren't words to explain the turmoil and the deep ache that runs through your veins 24/7. And to my women, for the autonomy that you lose and the strength that it takes to choose to put your body through hell and back again and again and again, I see you, I witness you, I feel you. There's nothing quite like it. As I was mentioning, I'm sensitive in sharing this upcoming episode because, like I said, I have been there. I've been on the other side. And to be honest, my anxiety is still a bit high. I have some capital T trauma from this journey with IVF into getting to this pregnancy. And it's something that I'm working on diligently with somatic therapy, which has been really helpful. And I also am carrying a little bit of guilt coming into this episode, which again is something that I'm trying to release. The guilt is coming from not wanting to like feel like I'm putting myself on display and like, look at me, look, it worked out for me. I think I'm getting to a place where I know that I deserve to celebrate this incredible gift, this baby. And I'm working on letting myself lean into that. I'm working on letting myself not feel shame around embracing this beautiful news and this beautiful experience that my husband and I are going through. I think both things can be true. I think I can feel sensitive to the masses. I think I can feel sensitive to my women, and to the men who listen to this podcast who may have fertility issues. That was my husband's case. And so I want to make sure that I am touch pointing, you know, all folks, not just women, not just men. So I think both things can be true. I think I can be sensitive and I think I can celebrate. And I think this journey into pregnancy has not been easy, and I'm not here to sugarcoat it, right? And I'm also not here to push on any pain points. So I want to reassure you time and time again that you aren't alone and that my life isn't all of a sudden just rainbows and butterflies, right? And that you are so safe here on this podcast. And of course, I will have pregnancy updates throughout this season because that's part of the celebrating, that's part of the documenting that I want to share. But they'll be honest, you know, they'll house my true emotions, the pain points I'm going through, joys and excitements, all the same. And let me just tell you this one last thing, and I mean it. You have the right not to listen and to skip this episode and to skip pregnancy episodes in the future. I'll say it again. I've been where you are and I will likely be there again should we choose to grow our family down the road. I have had to push pause on episodes that talked about pregnancy, even as it related to my own painful journey. And only you know what's best for you in this time in your life. And all that I care about, literally all that I care about, is that you are emotionally safe and protected. So please, without any hesitation, listen to your soul and your body and do what's best. If this episode seems like something that might give you some inspiration or just to feel witnessed and seen, then by all means, please cozy up and hang for a bit. But if it feels tender and it feels, you can feel like your body contracting, you can always join back in for episodes unrelated to fertility and pregnancy, because there will be tons, I promise. Okay. Whew, that made me emotional even just speaking that, because it just takes me back to a recent time of just like wondering if I'd ever get to where I am now. It felt really unlikely, but here we are. So again, today I'm going to do a deep dive into our journey to bringing in our baby after naturally trying and then learning that we had to do IVF in order to get a shot, to have a shot at getting pregnant. Our miscarriage that happened last March, our slew of bad luck for a straight solid year, the breakthrough that Jonathan and I had as a couple that literally changed everything for us, and the day that we found out that we were pregnant. And it's not at all how I expected that we would learn the news. So wherever you are, cozy up and let's get into it. Whew. Okay. I feel like I have dreamed about being a mother for as long as I can remember. Even as a kid, like playing with dolls, mothering them, taking them everywhere with me, tending to them. I guess I've just always known deep in my bones that this was my true calling and just like my purpose. And I think I wonder sometimes if that's why I've always kind of had a problem with really feeling super fulfilled, you know, and always feeling like there was something missing because that's something that wasn't totally in my control. You know, you can't, not everybody can just like snap their fingers and make motherhood a reality. And so that's been a really interesting thing to be moving through. And something that, you know, resonates so deeply with that being true is that back in 2019, some of you may know this, when I was completely single, I found a clinic in Chicago and I decided to freeze my eggs. So by summer of 2020, I was ready to begin the process. And I had like, I just remember feeling this huge weight lifted off of my shoulders. And I always knew that I would be so comfortable and confident having a baby on my own if I never found somebody that I wanted to share my life with. But it almost makes me laugh now because I feel like the minute that we like solidify that fact, that's when life kind of flips on its axis. So it was during my egg freezing process that Jonathan and I actually decided to be together after being friends for quite some time. And I had a moment where I was like, well, do I keep moving forward with this or do I just stop? Because I don't really need to get into this. I've talked about this on past episodes, but like with I knew Jonathan was the one. There was no question in my mind. So of course now I'm like going back and forth, like, do I need to go through this process? Do I not? But I decided to move forward mainly because it was a test for me to break old patterns within relationship to relationship where I would like halt pursuits of things that I personally desired and just like would rely on my relationship instead. So I would put aside anything that felt important to me to put my relationship first. And so I decided to keep on with this commitment that I had to freeze my eggs and not knowing that we'd actually need them in the future. And that Jonathan would turn out to be the best damn nurse on the planet. It's so funny to think of now because he was doing a lot of my shots for the egg freezing process. And then obviously for a year plus doing all of the IVF shots. So Jonathan and I, some personal background, we actually started trying a little bit before we got married. It just felt right to us. I remember we were taking a walk and we both just kind of like started talking about kids and we were just like, well, let's do it. You know, like that sounds, this is like the perfect time. And when it hadn't happened the first 2 months, I started getting a little curious. I wasn't worried, but yeah, just curious as to what was going on because I had always had such a regular cycle, like to the T, 28 days. I've never had any abnormal paps or anything like that. And when I did my egg freezing, you know, not that long ago, and my retrieval, my reserve was really high. So my egg reserve, my egg count, and my hormone levels were great. So while we weren't like pointing any fingers at each other, we decided that Jonathan should get tested since I essentially kind of already had all the information that I needed. And long story short, he didn't check out all that great as far as sperm count and quality. And that's a really big side effect, a common side effect with people who have had testicular cancer in the past, which my husband did in 2013. So we were told with pretty high certainty that IVF would be our only way to create a family. Now, mind you, we decided to stick with the clinic where I had frozen my eggs because that's where my eggs were frozen, obviously. And that's where they were being held. And I really liked this doctor that had taken me through that experience. And so they did Jonathan's testing and then they gave us the results and kind of their 2 cents on how we should proceed. So this was in January when we found all of this out and we decided to just jump in both feet. And do our first transfer in February. And so they did what we call a fresh transfer. I don't want to get like too technical here because it can get really confusing. But essentially a fresh transfer, since after we had made embryos, they weren't frozen or anything like that. They basically made the embryos and then they were like, okay, in 5 days, you're going to do a transfer. we hadn't had them tested or anything either. And so that's a common reason for miscarriage, because some of the embryos can be abnormal. So we did the transfer in February and we got pregnant the very first try. We got pregnant right away. And it felt like a total miracle. I was so elated. I was so relieved, so ecstatic. And Jonathan, I think, actually was in a bit of shock that it worked so quickly. I think in some ways we took it for granted how easy it was, you know, as easy as IVF can be. I think we had, you know, we had had some people in our lives who had had like multiple failed transfers. And so I think we were just open-minded. Like, I think we kind of knew we had an uphill battle. I mean, mind you, we did not know our battle would be this freaking uphill. But yeah, it was kind of shocking. And by the time we hit 7 weeks, though, we went in to see our baby's heartbeat for the second time, and it wasn't there. We had lost the pregnancy, and that was by far the worst day of our lives. I had never really felt a pain like that. It was so deep and so like primal. A totally different ache than anything I'd ever experienced. And you know, that trauma runs deep. It still does. And it affected my first trimester a lot, which is something that I'll talk about in another episode. So we decided to take a month or so off after that, mainly just waiting for my cycle to come back and to take the space to grieve, you know, what had happened. And like I said, we could not have anticipated what was waiting for us on the other side. It was a really painful next year, honestly. Every month felt like it was like this new hurdle. It was either a canceled transfer due to our clinic, you know, not loving how my lining was measuring, or a failed transfer due to the embryo not being strong. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shots, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. To be clear, we would have done a million shots and spent $1 million to bring this baby earthside. But still, we were just coming up empty. 2022 was without a doubt the most brutal year of our lives. I can say that with 100% certainty. So after all of this bad news and just like bad luck after bad luck after bad luck, in October, we decided to make fresh embryos and to have these tested ahead of time for peace of mind. We had both been, you know, really prioritizing our self-care, supplements, just taking really good care of ourselves. Jonathan was doing literally anything and everything that he could to, you know, enrich the quality, which made me love him so much more. And so we felt good about starting from scratch. I mean, as good as you can. Turns out that it was the best gift we could have ever given ourselves. These embryos we lovingly created were incredibly strong and beautifully graded. And this just felt like the biggest relief. It was kind of like we were giving ourselves a clean slate, is what that felt like. But we knew that something still felt off. It was like every time we'd go into the clinic, I would quite literally hyperventilate. My entire body would be shaking. I felt so traumatized by these rooms. Even the nurses, who I really loved, I just felt like I was constantly in a state of waiting for the other shoe to drop, or like waiting to get the worst news of my life, right? It was like this constant state of panic. So we knew what we had to do. We decided together that we wanted to take our embryos and find a new clinic, to get like a fresh new start, a new set of eyes. And we started looking around for other clinics. We started interviewing other clinics. And I am just so grateful that we made that decision. We ended up with one of the doctors and clinics that a close friend of mine used and loved. And, you know, when I tell you that my previous IVF cycles, like that amounted to nothing, were invasive and stressful, I mean, multiply that by 10. But when we interviewed this doctor, she was just so calming and reassuring. And just to be honest, you know, she was confused as to why we had been put through the ringer so much. The magic words for me were when she told me that, in her opinion, I remember her being like, "Your lining measurements that I'm seeing in your records are beautiful. Like, you were being overdosed with medication, which is what was making, you know, your numbers like freak out and get really high and then plummet." And I remember looking right at Jay and just being like, "She's our new doctor." I mean, I was crying when we hung up with her because I just felt so seen. And I felt like finally there was somebody giving me some autonomy and saying like, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. We just, let's try a different approach. So we signed the contract with this clinic in November and decided to take, you know, the holidays off just so my body could reach some homeostasis and, you know, we could just be married and enjoy the time with our family and friends. And so by late December, I was starting medication again. And though this might sound confusing because like you might be like, okay, but if you're healthy and you're fertile, why are you taking medication? Why are you doing the hormones? This is basically just because, I mean, I could have said that I wanted a natural cycle, which means no medication. You just let your body ovulate on its own. But for me, you know, you're paying all of this money, and you're putting in all of this time and energy. With the medication, you're basically perfectly timing the cycle, so there's no guesswork. And Jonathan and I just didn't want to take any risks. So I decided to do all of the shots and take the medications. And I went in for one ultrasound check prior to our transfer, you guys. In comparison, no joke, to having like a bajillion with our other clinic prior to transfer. I would have to go in like every single week. Mind you, these ultrasounds and these checks are very invasive. They are transvaginal. It's not like on the abdomen. They're very uncomfortable, semi-traumatic, like when you're having so many. And so to go from having so many like once a week, sometimes twice a week, to having one and then being like, "Everything looks beautiful. We'll see you for your transfer." I was like, what the actual fuck is going on? This is like heaven on earth for a traumatized IVF patient. It was just like the most gentle experience. And I honestly felt like I just kind of floated through it. In the day of our transfer, January 11th, we walked in, and within 30 minutes, I mean, we were pregnant until proven otherwise. And once the procedure was over, which you're fully awake for, does not hurt at all. It's honestly one of the coolest things. It makes me want to cry because you are actually watching the embryo like enter your body. It's so wild. It's so amazing. And it just makes this connection like, I don't know. It's like you've seen them since, you know, day five, you know, because they're a 5-day old embryo at that point. And once the procedure was over, I sobbed. It was like, even the nurses were crying because it was like so much weight and so much relief just came off of my shoulders. This time just felt so different compared to all the others. I don't really know how to like explain that, but energetically it just did. And, you know, I had this thought of like, okay, if I can't naturally conceive with my husband, this was quite the alternative. So much love was in that little room that I look at that conception visualization and I'm like, you know what? That is incredibly sweet. We had like such a support team, so many people rallying for us. It was really lovely. And so I think for some people, myself included, who really grieved, and I still do, you know, I grieve that, you know, I don't get to like spontaneously have fun with my husband and make a baby out of it. You know, there is some grieving to that for sure. But if you try to focus on the positives of like how magical IVF can be in that regard and really work to make it special, it is. And so the 2-week wait comes, and this is fucking awful. It's so agonizing. And, you know, when you're sitting there with these expectations that you're trying to level out, right? Especially because you've heard no so many times. It's just when it's all you've ever wanted and you start to wonder if you just maybe aren't deserving of good news, it takes over. It's so consuming. My anxiety was so high. It was through the roof. And what made it hard was, you know, if you're not going through IVF, it's like you get the symptoms, you get sore boobs, you get really tired, you might have some nausea. But for me, I didn't have many symptoms at first. And with IVF, you're taking progesterone and estrogen. And those two things combined, they mock pregnancy to a T, because when you are conceiving naturally, those are two things that you are producing extra of on your own, hence the symptoms. But because I had been on these things for quite some time, I was already like, basically even, you know, the minute that we transferred, I was like, ugh, having all of the symptoms. So I really had no way of knowing. My boobs were growing and becoming super tender, but estrogen and progesterone does that. I was so exhausted, but progesterone does that. Cramping super normal with early pregnancy because of implantation, and progesterone does that. So I literally had no idea or no way of knowing what was a pregnancy symptom and what was the medication. So I really had to just like sit in this bubble of trust. And honestly, that was hard because if I'm being totally honest, I had none. So the one thing that we did notice that was interesting, excuse me, was Jasper. Now, he's always been super close to me, like, you know, a mama's boy. I've had him since he was 8 weeks. But those 9 days that we were waiting to find out our results was a little intense. He would like consistently crawl up to me and lay his head on my belly. He would like growl at Jonathan anytime he went to pet him when he was near me. He'd sleep with me every single night. He usually sleeps between Jonathan's legs. And I ended up reading that this intense attachment can happen with dogs when their owner becomes pregnant. They're into, you know, a dog's intuition, animals' intuitions are super, super high. So that feels really sweet to like look at back on now. And we even have some pictures that we took that I love looking at. Just sort of like thinking to like, oh my God, maybe he knew before we did. So with IVF, you go back to the clinic 9 days after the transfer. Hence why the 2 week wait isn't actually 2 weeks. Not always anyway. I think when you naturally conceive, you take a pregnancy test after you miss your period, which is like generally 2 weeks after conception. But with IVF, you do a straight blood test. And so this is something that you can find out pregnancy results earlier if you're getting your blood drawn. So since I got in super early for my blood work, we knew that we'd find out by the afternoon, and I had been told that the nurse would call me with results by 1. So of course, this day was totally shot. I was frantically checking my Apple Watch and my phone like every 5 seconds. The anxiety running through my veins was next level. I had never felt anything like it. I had to try to do everything just to keep myself busy. It actually brings me right back to that time, even just talking about it. And that feeling is so awful. It's so awful. So I ended up just getting out of the house and running errands. By this time it was like 10:30. So I was like, okay, I have plenty of time to, you know, go do some errands and be back before they call to be with Jonathan. Because I could not just sit there while he was working from home. It was so agonizing. And then the unexpected happened. As I was at a red light, it was like 11 a.m., I got an email that came through from the lab that processes my blood work, not from the clinic. And the subject line just read, "Your results are ready," in full caps. I cannot tell you what I felt in that moment, but I can try. It was like terror, the need to vomit, excitement, paralysis, just full on adrenaline. It was like every single emotion you could ever have as a human being had jolted into my body in that one split second. And I immediately texted Jay a screenshot of it, and all he said was in all caps, he was like, "Come home." And when I got home, we both just paced the living room for a minute. Like, we were like, should we look? Should we just wait to hear from the nurses? Like, what do we do? Like, we didn't know how clear the results were going to be. You know, it's like we didn't want to look at something and then be like, well, we're confused. Now we have questions. So I think that was like the reasoning for part of us like wanting to maybe wait and just see what the nurses had to say, but we couldn't fucking do that. So like any normal human beings, I would like to think, we sat down on the couch and I logged in. I clicked on the link and stared blankly. I knew what I was looking for. I knew I was looking for HCG levels, and I knew I needed to be above a 10 for it to be a viable pregnancy. The levels needed to be above a 10. But honestly, my eyes were just like darting around, not knowing where to land. I had no idea where on the page anything was. Everything was so blurry because I was just so anxious. And that's when I heard it. Jonathan just totally gasped, like so loud. And so I gasped back, but still, I didn't even know why. I didn't even know what I was looking at, but he did. And he pointed to it. He just like took his finger and pointed to the screen, and it said HCG 211. So we were definitely pregnant. The sobs that came out of the both of us in that moment is something that I truly just want to bottle up and remember forever. It like the relief in our bones, the relief as we just melted into each other, like the gasping for air as we realized that, you know, like at least for now, the fight was over and that we could just breathe a little bit deeper. And as of this moment, it was confirmed that I was carrying our baby. So I had messaged the nurse to spill the beans that we did actually already know. And they responded just, you know, saying something along the lines of like, congratulations, you are pregnant. Like, we're so excited for you. Numbers and levels look great. You're 4 weeks as of today. And then, you know, just like, here's when to come in to monitor your blood work. So with IVF, you don't just jump into ultrasounds. You track your HCG levels every other day to make sure that they're increasing correctly, you know, just to make sure that it's a healthy pregnancy that's continuing to grow. So this day was just truly surreal. But in my gut too, you know, for the sake of being totally honest, I knew we had an uphill battle. We had been here before and it did not turn out well. So this is when my PTSD started to roll in and roll in thick. And it made me really sad that my joy was being stripped, even if just a little. And that's the one thing that's so hard about having suffered a miscarriage is that like the innocence is robbed from you. I remember the first time we got pregnant, I was sort of like, oh, I'm untouchable. That's kind of how I felt. Like, I was just like, women don't really talk about it. And so to me, you hear, oh, it's common, but you're like, not really, because like no one in my circles ever talked to me about this. No one on the internet in my corner has ever talked about this. So how common can it really be? Well, turns out I was not invisible. And so now I'm sitting here totally overanalyzing, and it began to rule me. And I just remember Googling everything, everything under the sun, and I could just not settle into my body as much as I tried. So fortunately, my second HCG blood work appointment helped aid in some relief, and so did the ones following that. I think like day 12 was like 635, and then 12, 13, 14, day 15 was like almost 1800. And then when our 6 week appointment came, which is where you get blood work and you get to see the embryo and see the heartbeat, it was above 21,000. So we were in a really sweet spot and that felt really reassuring, but still it was like, you know, we had 6 more weeks to go before we could really take a deep breath and feel like we were safe. And so not only do we get to see, this was really cool and really, really special. So not only did we get to see the heartbeat at our 6 week appointment, but we got to hear it. And that's something that we were never able to do with our first pregnancy. They just didn't even offer the audio for that. And so that just felt like such a relief and just, I don't know, such a sweet bonus. So after that, and I'm going to get more into this when I talk about the first trimester, but just like after that, we had another 8 week appointment where we saw how the embryo was growing. It's not yet a fetus, I don't think, until like 10 weeks. So the embryo was growing and the heartbeat was still really, really strong. And so that also felt really good. I don't want to get into all of the side effects and symptoms that I lovingly embraced since week 6. Again, I'm going to do an episode all about the first trimester. And I'm going to have Jonathan actually come on as well. He's agreed. He's really excited to sort of share like some of his experience and his take on our journey and those first 3 months. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think after that eight week appointment, we both just realized that this was actually happening, you know, like the three of us were going to be okay. And while I've still had to do a lot of therapy, a lot of like inner work to feel safe in my own body, it has been anything but easy. It's getting easier now that I'm in my second trimester. That is for sure. But the journey to get here was really tough. The journey to stay present within those first 3 months were really, really tough. And I just really hope that I can always remain totally honest with all of you, because again, I don't ever want to paint this picture of toxic positivity when it comes to pregnancy. And I also don't want to like paint pictures of fear either. Like IVF is nothing to be afraid of. IVF is so magical. It's so special that it exists. I'm so grateful. It's likely that we would not have this baby without it. And I just want to make sure, though, in the same breath, that the experience that I'm sharing with you is an honest one, because it doesn't always look one way. You know, we hear, oh, IVF guaranteed you're going to have a baby. And that's not true. It can take a lot of grit and a lot of work and a lot of medication and a lot of body autonomy being lost. And, you know, I just think it's really important to shed light on both. On both. It's both magical and it's hard work. So yeah. Anyway, that's the story of how we called our sweet baby, and we fought really hard and we do it all over again. We poured our hearts and souls into building our little family, and I've just never felt so proud of us and so grateful to be this baby's mom and to be Jonathan's partner. So baby will be joining us Earthside in September. Thank you so much for being here and for listening, and I will see you back here next week.